Well, this morning, we're going to be starting a new series in Galatians, and I want to tell you about this because I don't want you to lose heart. We are going to go all the way through the end of Galatians, so you know where we'll be at for a little while, but I hope that you will, in between weeks, in between Sundays, take some time to read through Galatians. And as we go through it on Sunday morning, go through it in your week, go through it in your devotions, and start to look at this gospel and the message that Paul is trying to communicate, because it is a very timely message for us today, right here in Parkston, South Dakota, or Tripp, South Dakota, or wherever, Mitchell, South Dakota, wherever you hail from. This message is for you, it is for today, and it will help you. So I pray that as we go through this together, you would also take it up and study it individually further, dive deeper into these concepts that we're going to be briefly talking about for a few minutes this morning. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Galatians, we are going to start in verse 1. If you would like to stand as we have our scripture reading this morning. Verse 1 through verse 12. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. You know, this first accusation, Paul is dealing right to the point. Galatia is a church or a group of churches that Paul had started, and people had come in and started teaching them, oh, that Paul, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. He's one of those, you know, one of those guys. And if you really want to be saved, yeah, you have to believe in Jesus, but you also have to do these things. And Paul is saying, let's get right to the heart of the matter. He says, you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You're not just turning away from the gospel, you're turning away from God. And so I ask that same question to us this morning. What gospel are we following? When you say, I'm a Christian, or I'm saved, or I'm a believer, in what are you a believer? What are you believing in? What gospel have you committed to? Because there are many false gospels. Just as there was false gospels back in Paul's time, there are still many false gospels today. Some of you might have not heard of these titles because I made them up myself, but you will quickly recognize what I'm talking about. One is the fire insurance gospel, right? Where it's like, hey, I'm not really about the whole, you know, Jesus, Savior, Lord, all that sort of stuff. I just don't want to go to hell, right? What do I got to do to just not go to hell? That's the fire insurance gospel. Another one is very similar. It's called the one prayer gospel, right? You pray this prayer, good to go. Go out and live your life however you want to. You're good to go. And some of us have actually been taught that gospel, right? All you have to do is pray this prayer, and then you're saved. Now, I don't want to confuse this morning. So we're going to talk about what is the true gospel. But that is not it. Okay? That is not it. And you'll recognize quickly once we get there. The Bible does not teach you pray a prayer and you're good to go. Others believe in the good works gospel. Right? Yeah, I got to believe in Jesus, but I also have to do all of these things over here in order to earn God's extra super bonus plan in heaven, right? And then I will make it. And really, we're just trusting in our works. I remember one time in a different church, the pastor was preaching about how we shouldn't be trusting our prayer to get us into heaven. And this lady, very sweet lady, raises her hand and she said, yeah, I don't trust in my prayer in order to get into heaven. What I do is I just work as hard as I can and hope that that will be enough to get me into heaven. It's like, uh-oh. That's not quite it either. Another one is church membership gospel, right? The gospel according to church membership. As long as you are a member of a certain church, this church or that church or wherever you have your membership, you're good to go because you're a member of that church. That is not the gospel. How about the prosperity gospel? Right? You send in your donation of this much, and God will surely fill it up with a bucket and overflow it and dump it out right in your lap. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about the community gospel? Where we are all saved by helping the poor, by helping the downtrodden, the needy. It's not an individual salvation, it's a community salvation. Or maybe there's another gospel. When you think about your faith in Christ, when you think about your salvation, what is it that you are trusting in? Maybe it's a certain person. We're going to get to that in a minute. Whatever he says, that's what I believe. That's not the gospel either. Paul started out in Galatians chapter 1. He says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. The real gospel is this, that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after he was seen over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, and then by the apostles, and then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. The gospel message is none other than this: faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the work that he did on the cross. Yes, that is expressed through a prayer. Yes, that is expressed through good works. Yes, that is expressed through church membership. But if you confuse the two, you don't have anything. If the faith that caused you to be baptized is faith in Jesus Christ, then you were baptized into the body of Christ. But if you're putting faith in baptism, then you just got wet. The gospel message is following Christ. It is becoming Christ. It is following him as he delivers us out of this present evil age, according to the will of God. So, what gospel are you following? The next question that Paul asks here, he implies he's going to get farther into it, but he refers to the person who is turning them away. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There are people today who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And then there are other people who are disciples of those people who are confused, and they don't necessarily want to pervert the gospel of Christ, but they know a false gospel, and so they're teaching you this false gospel. I remember sitting down with a person who was confessing a sin in their life, and another person who is sitting with them says, "Oh, that's not a sin. Don't worry about that. That's no big deal. Jesus loves you just as you are." And I'm like, I wonder what Bible she was reading. And I can tell you, she had no desire to confuse the person, but she had been misled. So the question becomes, who is your guru? Who is your guru? When you have a question about what should I do? What does the Bible say? What does God want me to do? Who is your guru? In verse 10, Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." When it comes to leading people, you have to make a choice. Am I going to preach what God says, or am I going to preach what I think? And a lot of people say, "Well, I'm going to start out with what God says, and I'm going to polish it off with what I think." Right? Twist it a little bit here. Leave out a little bit over there. Make people feel good. We don't want to give them the whole message because that might offend some people. They might not want to come back. I remember this one guy told me that you should never do counseling for people in your own church. If you're a pastor, don't counsel people in your own church. Because as soon as you're done counseling them, there's going to be this odd relationship between you and them, and they know things about you that they don't want you to know, or that you know things about them that they don't want you to know, and very quickly they'll be off to the next church where they can have kind of this, you know, semi-autonomous relationship with the pastor. If you want your church to grow, don't counsel your people. Give them to somebody else. And my reply was, "Well, wait a second. They're not my people. Like, You guys don't belong to me, right? This is the church. We're all following the same guy. And if you don't want to be here anymore and you want to follow God somewhere else, well, then go follow God somewhere else. And if I'm able to implant some word into you that might grow up into fruit later, why wouldn't I want to do that? Why wouldn't I want to counsel my own people? We got to make sure that we're thinking about things the right way. In verse 10 through 17 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now, I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas,'" or Peter, "'I am of Christ.' Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius." What do you think about that, Isabel? Crispus, for a boy's name? No? All right. "Lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Here's what he's saying. You got to be careful to put your faith in your pastor. You got to be careful to put your faith in some other spiritual leader in your life. You can't do that. You can't put your faith in a person. You can't say, "I am of this guy. I'm a disciple of this guy, and whatever this guy does, that's what I'm going to do because I believe whatever he says." This guy is human. If your guru is your pastor, you have the wrong guru. Because your guru should be Christ. That's the person who can save you. Your pastor cannot save you. Paul says, "I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. Because you got the wrong idea." I remember when I lived in Kansas City, there was a gentleman, and I told this story before, but there was a gentleman, we were washing our clothes together at the laundromat. And I started to share my faith with him, and he started to share his experience with me, how he had grown up going to youth group. And he did not come from a Christian home, but he started going to youth group. And he started to follow God. And then all of a sudden, one night, he saw his youth group leader come out of the bar with another woman that wasn't his wife. He said, "I never went back to church after that. And I never talked to God again after that. And I don't believe in God anymore." And while that is a very sad story, and while that is a very condemning story of that man's character, it's an example of the guy did not have his faith in the right person. He was trusting his youth pastor. He was trusting in his youth pastor. He wasn't trusting in Jesus. And we can do the same thing, even if we've been here for 20 or 30, 40 years. We can put our faith in the wrong person. 2 Peter chapter 2, 17 through 19, we read this in Sunday school. Talking of false teachers, it says, "These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." we have this message of hope, the gospel. This beautiful, simple, glorious message. That if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and if you follow Him, you will be saved. Believe in me, and you will be saved. Call upon me, you will be saved. Take up my cross. Take up my yoke, for my burden is not heavy. I will give you rest. This beautiful message of if we put our hope and faith in God, He will wipe away our sins. He will deliver us from evil. And then people want to kind of come in and massage it a little bit, twist it a little bit, make it a little bit easier, make it a little bit more appealing, make it a little bit easier to follow. And pretty soon we're not following the simple message. And we're off here doing other things. Or not doing the things that we should be doing. So we must follow Christ. The only gospel is through Christ. Galatians 1:11 and 12 says, But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I'm not teaching you anything of my own wisdom. What you hear from me, I learned it from God. I'm not going to twist it. I'm not going to shake it. I'm not going to remake it. I'm just going to give it to you. And here's the deal. Only Christ can set us free. Jesus himself said in John 8:32 through 36, he said, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This morning, that promise is still true. If you abide in his word, if you stay in His Word, if you listen to His Word, read His Word, obey His Word, you will be His disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And what did they say? Yes, I want to be free. What did they say? What are you talking about, this freedom thing? We're already free. They answered him and said, We are Abraham's descendants and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus is offering you freedom. Not freedom from slavery, like we think about as happened 400 years ago, and is actually happening around the world today, even in this own country. But he's talking about all types of oppression. All the types of oppression that come from sin. God wants to deliver you. But we have to be willing to obey Him. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is not a throw your money in the bucket and it's going to happen all at once scheme. This is a you get behind Christ and you follow Him and you don't turn to the left or to the right and you will arrive at your destination. That's the promise. I like to use this story. And we'll use this for our closing illustration here. It's just what I've been using a lot as I share the gospel lately. Imagine that you were captivated or captured in enemy territory. Maybe you were like these brilliant people who decided that there is no evil in the world and decided to travel the world and go into places that are dangerous with evil people. And they say, oh, no, everybody loves everybody, right? Well, they got killed. They didn't even get captured. They just got killed. But imagine you're captured and your oppressors are harming you. They're beating you, right? And then one night, after you've been there and you've cried out, you asked for help, and you're at your wit's end, a U.S. soldier, maybe a Marine or maybe a Green Beret, shows up where you are and he says, I am here to take you to freedom. And you have to put your faith and you have to put your trust into that person. That not that only they will, but they can. Not only do they have the ability, but they also have the commitment to do what it takes to get you there. And you put your faith and trust in that person, and you get out and you walk behind them. And you don't turn to the left and you don't turn to the right. You don't say, hey, I'm not feeling so great back here. Could we take a break? Right? Because you realize what is at stake. If you get caught again, it's going to be worse. And so you follow Christ. You follow your Savior. That's what the image of the Christian life is. It's becoming a follower, a disciple. I'm not going to turn any way that God doesn't want me to turn. Because at the end is freedom. We don't walk out of the cell and experience freedom. We don't pray a prayer and experience freedom. The freedom is found in walking daily with Christ. That's the commitment, walking daily. Will we mess up sometimes? Yes. Will we stumble and fall sometimes? Yes. We have a loving Savior, and we get back up and we follow Him again. That's the Christian life. That's the path. That's the gospel. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You have provided a way. Your Son came and died on the cross so that we could be free, that we could overcome that which has overcome us. If we put our faith and trust in Jesus, then He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Jesus, You said on this earth that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to walk in that way. Lord, help us to have the courage to recommit. To not just believing that You existed, not just believing that You died on the cross, but committing to walking day by day. Committing to abiding in You, to abiding in Your Word, to allowing Your Spirit to work within us so that we could have that fruit of peace and joy and love. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would illuminate our minds, and that if anyone here is believing in a false gospel, Lord, that they would repent of that and recommit their life to You. Lord, that we would not look to a person to interpret Your Word for us, but Lord, that we would be ministered by Your own Spirit. That we would walk into Your throne room before You and stand justified by Christ. That we would not turn to another, but that we would turn to You in every day, in every way. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.